From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome, Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you're on board. Final hour of the program on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along for the ride today as we get ready to get into the frenzy. I want to let you know, though, that our friends from Quick Trip, big day going on at Quick Trip today. First of all, it's Dollar Chicken Sandwich Day. But they want to let you know, and they're pushing this, the Black Friday. That's right. If you have a Quick Trip's rewards card, if you don't have one right now, you can go get one, or you can apply for it online, put your phone number, and you're good to go. But on Black Friday, you go in and you get a gift card or a car wash card or a combination thereof. For $50 or over, you get $10 off per gallon of fuel that day. $10 or 10 cents, I should say, off per gallon of fuel. In addition to that, if you get an additional gift card, say $100 worth, you get 20 cents off per gallon of fuel. You see how that works, right? There you go. That is our friends at Quick Trip. And today, by the way, they have the $1 chicken sandwiches going on as well. So good stuff going on over at Quick Trip. Time now for the frenzy. Let's get to it.
Another big football weekend.
Rodgers, wide open first down, caught.
Time to look around the rest of the league.
Caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Kenny Galladay, and rookie welcome to the game.
Once Antonio Brown throws it underneath, touchdown.
This is the Football Frenzy on the Bill Michaels Show.
Inside the five, Riddick at the two, Riddick to the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Harry again, got home. Fourth down.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. They train, you gain.
Trying to get them with 12 men on the field, and they may have.
For apprenticeship info and the location of the local near you, go to wylaborers.org.
Time now for the frenzy. Cowboys, Falcons, Dallas continues their winning ways. How about that? It comes down to this game-winning kick. Take a listen.
Here we go for the game, kids. So it's 42 for the win. Operation good, 42 away. Maher for the win. Cowboys win.
There was one happy gargoyle up in the box. I'll tell you that right now. Jerry Jones was greeting and meeting and kissing and hugging everybody. 22-19. Cowboys get the win. Dak Prescott, 22 of 32, 208 yards. And he goes a couple of sacks, but 34 was his long for the day, an 86.5 quarterback rating. But it was Zeke Elliott, 122 yards on 23 carries. He galloped into the end zone for a touchdown as well. That was on the Dallas Cowboys radio network. Lions and Matt Stafford, how about this? Connects with Kenny Galladay for the score.
Play clock at two. Matthews got it. Blitz comes. They pick it up. Stafford throws. It is end zone. Caught! Oh, baby, what a catch! Kenny Galladay, you're a freak! What a catch! Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
20-19, Detroit gets the win. I'm not kidding. Matthew Stafford, 23 of 37, 220 yards. Sacked one time and a touchdown, 87.7. Cam Newton did all he could, 25 of 37, 357 yards. Three touchdowns, one costly pick, a quarterback rating of 114.4. Moore, by the way, seven catches, 157 yards and a touchdown. If you had him in fantasy for Carolina, holy mackerel. But Kenny Galladay, eight catches, 113 yards and a touchdown. That is on the Lions radio network. We move over to the Colts and the Titans. Jordan Wilkins, 18-yard touchdown scamper. Here it is.
Luck under center. Zach Pascal in the game. They're going to quick pitch it left side to Jordan Wilkins. Around the numbers. Going to cut up field. He's at the 10. He's at the 5. Jordan Wilkins, touchdown! Touchdown! Jordan Wilkins from 18 yards away. And the Colts are dominating the football game.
38-10, they got the win. I'm not kidding. 38-10. The Colts get the win over the Tennessee Titans. Who knew? Andrew Luck, 23 of 29, 297 yards, three touchdowns. Very quietly putting together a solid season. Nobody's talking about him, but 143.8 quarterback rating on the day for the Colts and their quarterback. By the way, that was the Colts radio network. We continue on. You've got the Giants, the Buccaneers. Saquon Barkley, a monster game. Three TDs. Here's his third.
Third and one at the two. Manning over center. Offset eye left. Handoff Barkley. Smashes up the middle for a touchdown. And the Giants respond and now lead it 37-28 with 3:52 to go. Third touchdown for Saquon Barkley.
Giants Radio Network 38-35 is the way it ended up. Barkley 142 yards and 27 carries, 5.3 yards per carry, two touchdowns on the day. Eli Manning, he didn't stink it up. He only threw 18 times, but 17 of 18. I'm not kidding. Sacked four times, held onto the ball way too long. 231 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Quarterback rating, by the way, 155.8. Fitzmagic, 13 of 21, 167 yards, and three, count them, three picks. Ooh. Fitzmagic on by the wayside, Giants Radio Network. Then you continue on, Texans, Redskins, Alex Smith throws the pick six to Justin Reed.
Third and goal at the nine. Here's the snap. Smith looking, firing to the end zone, and it's intercepted. Brought out by Reed, and he takes it right side across the 40, the 50, the 40 of Washington. No one's going to get him. A pick six, coast to coast. Picked it off of the end zone, shot out of a cannon, and takes it for over 100 yards for six.
Texans on the Texans Radio Network, they get the win 23-21. That game, obviously, marred by the injury to Alex Smith. And it was Joe Theismann-esque, for those that remember that break. 12 of 27, 135 yards before he left the game in that with that injury. Colt McCoy takes over, goes 6 of 12. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson, 16 of 24, 208 yards, couple of picks, threw a touchdown. Not great day by either quarterback, but just enough to get the job done, 23-21 on the Houston Texans Radio Network. Yeah, I'm telling you, if you haven't seen that Alex Smith injury, you don't want to watch it. If you got a weak stomach and that's not your bag, don't look. If somebody sends it to you, just don't even open it. Steelers and Jaguars, Big Ben, he takes it in. Now, by the way, he rumbles and stumbles and falls on his face, but the ball goes across the goal line.
First and goal inside the one. 8 seconds to go. Ben gets the snap, rolls right. He looks, he runs, he dives.
He's in.
He's got a touchdown. Ben has a touchdown rolling right. What a play call.
1 yard from outside, 20-16. That's the way it ends up on the Steelers Radio Network. Roethlisberger, 27 of 47. 314 yards. Ben throws two touchdowns, but three picks the guy throws. Juju Smith-Schuster, 8 catches, 104 yards. Antonio Brown, 5 catches, 117 yards and a touchdown. His longest being a 78-yard touchdown reception, by the way. That was the Steelers Radio Network. Then you've got the Ravens, the Bengals, Gus Edwards scores on Gus the bus scores on the 11-yard touchdown run.
Second down and three at the Bengal 11. Jackson in the gun, gives to Gus Edwards. Edwards up the middle. He's to the five. He rumbles in. Touchdown, Ravens. Gus Edwards with his first NFL touchdown.
That made it 21 apiece. Justin Tucker, a 24-yard field goal, ends up winning at 24-21. The Ravens get the win. Andy Dalton, 19 of 36, 211 yards, a couple of touchdowns, but not enough. Jackson, 13 of 19, 150 yards, throws a pick. But he also runs, by the way, 27 times for 117 yards. Man, oh, man. The Bengals, by the way, gave up 265 yards rushing. That was the Ravens Radio Network. They get the win 24-21. The Raiders and the Cardinals. Derek Carr hooks up with a former Packer, Jared Cook. Every time that guy gets his hands on the ball, it makes me want to get sick.
Jared Cook is the wide receiver to the right. From the gun for the first time. Looks Cook's way. Fires to him. Enzo, wide open touchdown. Number 87 walks in. So Derek Carr with a great audible call. And how about this, Lincoln? The Raiders score on their first possession.
That made it 7-0, and then it went on from there. A good battle, 23-21, between two bad teams as the Raiders get the win. That was the Raiders Radio Network, and yes, that is the voice of one Brent Musburger, who is now the voice of the Oakland Raiders. Broncos, Chargers, Brandon McManus, he kicks the game winner to upset the Chargers.
A kick to win it. Snap, placement, kick on the way. It is good! It's over! Moore celebrates like I've rarely seen in a regular season game. An unbelievable comeback victory for these Broncos. Starting on their own 8-yard line, they move all the way down. Brandon McManus from 34 yards out gives the Broncos a 23-22 victory.
How about that on the Broncos radio network? They upset the Chargers. Chargers go to 7-3. Broncos are 4-6 in the season on the Broncos radio network. Saints and Eagles. Drew Brees goes to his favorite target, Michael Thomas, for this one.
First and 10 from the Eagles 23. Brees in the shotgun. He drops back, looks to the near sideline, up in the air. Mike Thomas caught in the front pylon. Touchdown, Saints.
There you go. Touchdown, Saints. And they just rolled it up all day long. 48-7. You talk about an offense that's just rolling right now. 48-7. Over the Eagles in this one. They get the win. That's the Saints radio network. Meanwhile, Drew Brees, 22 of 30, 363 yards, 4 touchdowns, 153.2 quarterback rating. He has just got a season going on right now. You know what? He's your MVP. Sitting here today is your MVP. Saints radio network. And then there's the Sunday night game, the Bears and the Vikings. Eddie Jackson picks off Kirk Cousins. Take a listen.
Snap, Cousins looking this way, throws, best, intercepted! There goes Eddie Jackson to the 10, 5, end zone, touchdown, pick 6. Wow, this defense is playing magnificent at Soldier Field.
That is Jeff Joniak on the Bears radio network.
Are you kidding me?
As they go on to get the win, that was 25-20, by the way. They ended up getting the win. And the Bears holding on to the tight grip, of the top spot in the NFC North. Mitch Trubisky, 20 of 31, 165 yards. You've got Howard going 63 yards. Trubisky rushes for 43 yards. Cohen rushes for 27. They racked up 148 yards on that Vikings defense. Kirk Cousins, 30 of 46, 262 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Nothing to write home about. Stephon Diggs, 13 catches, 126 yards. And a touchdown. In the meantime, last night's ball game. What a thriller. 54-51. Take a listen to this as Jared Goff connects and ends the ball game.
First down and 10 from the Kansas City 40. He fires right sideline. Gerald Everett caught him in the shoulder at the 10. Oh! Tiptoes the sideline. Touchdown, LA! With 1:49 to go, a 40-yard strike from Goff to Everett, and the Rams are back on the high side.
That's the Rams radio network. Goff, 31 of 49, 413 yards. He threw 4 touchdowns, no picks. By the way, Gurley, 12 carries, 55 yards. The Chiefs did a good job of stuffing the run. They just couldn't stop the pass. And Cooks. Man, he was all over the place last night. 8 catches, 107 yards. By the way, and it was just what a night last night to watch that. By the way, Patrick Mahomes, 43 of 46, 478 yards, sacked 3 times, 6 touchdowns, 6 of them, but 3 picks, and the last one of the game proved costly because that ended it, and that is your football frenzy. Whew! Whew! I'm worn out on that one. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Lance Kendricks. He was with us last night, the tight end from the Badgers, and now with the Packers. He was at the Lodge Kohler kickoff. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Team stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show continues. Hey, a reminder coming up. We're less than a week away. Next Monday we start it. We are going to be at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek next Monday for an entire week of broadcasts. It's the most special week of broadcasts we can bring you. It's the toy drive for Children's Hospital. Hope to see you down there. If you can drop off a new unwrapped toy, that would be wonderful. Just absolutely wonderful. You can come by and hang out and say hello. We'd love to get a name and shake a hand. And, you know, hey, if you're going to be out shopping with the kids, maybe have the kids you know, buy something for other kids. Teach them a little bit of a lesson along the way as well. So it's a great time of year. It's our most special of broadcasts, and we can't ask you enough to come down and join us. So that begins next Monday down at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek. Come on by from 6A to 6P. Going to be there in the entire time, and we hope that you're a part of it. Okay, Lance Kendricks last night. We had a great conversation. So. You know, one of the discussions was about the offense, obviously, about, you know, many different facets of this, but he talked about running the football.
I don't have a particular answer, but I can just say, you know, when we're running the ball well, we're scoring. And when we struggle to run the ball, we struggle of finishing in the end zone. So that to me has its own correlation, and I think that kind of fits what's going on. You know, when we run the ball well, we're hitting on all cylinders.
And I think they're right. I mean, you know, he's basically saying it too. Hey, if we can run the ball, especially when we get down into the opponent's territory, down beyond their 35, it really opens things up for us. And, you know, one of the things that I had asked him, I said, hey, there's a lot of things going on outside right now where people are saying it's Mike McCarthy, it's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers seems to be talking about the coach, and coach is not, you know, saying a word about anything. And I said, you know, so what's the locker room like? Is, you know, guys in there – are they talking about all this stuff?
I think the locker room's in good spirits. We built a pretty good bond in that locker room between the guys, so there's no finger pointing. We all kind of own up to our own mistakes, and we know what we need to get done. We've played in games where we've dominated, and so we know what it feels like. We just have to go out there and do it. And, you know, The waiting game till Sunday kind of sucks because we can only talk about it.
Yeah, he was anxious, man. He said, "Hey, look, since that Thursday night game, we just can't wait to get back out there. We just need to get back out there and get this taste out of our mouth." And you know, one of the things that we got into the discussion was the health of Jimmy Graham, obviously, and then what is it like, you know, having Jimmy Graham at that tight end position, and you're, you know, kind of working with him and playing, you know, with him at the same position. But this offense needs to go, and he talks about teammate Jimmy Graham.
He's a very relentless player. It's funny because when you see him off the field, you know, he's pretty chill and quiet, but he gets pretty excited, and he loves football, and he's a worker. He's one of the first people in the building every day. He wants to learn the offense. He wants to get better. And, you know, he brings a different type of feel to the game. You know, he like I said before, he plays in space, and he's really good at it. He's big. He plays big. And, you know, he brings a lot to the game.
So he talks about Jimmy Graham, and he talks about, you know, that group that they have. But I asked him, you know, Aaron Rodgers has talked about, you know, trust. He's talked about not necessarily throwing to spots, but throwing the jerseys, and he's got to trust you. So if you're a young player on this team, when he looks at Aaron Rodgers, you know, how do you end up getting that trust?
I think in the heat of the moment, he wants to go to the guys he trusts. And a lot of times we're in the heat of the moment. So he looks for 17, or when G-Mo was out there, he was one of his favorite targets. So I think that kind of hindered us when G-Mo got hurt.
You know,
that was a target that he loved to go to downfield. So, you know, the young guys have to step up, and they're getting there. You know, maybe they're not quite there, but they're getting there.
That's a great point. So this goes back to what Gary Ellerson said during the postgame show. Aaron Rodgers has guys he wants to go to. He wants to go to Devontae. He wants to go to G-Mo. G-Mo's not there anymore. Devontae's being double covered. So you're forcing a quarterback into a situation that he doesn't really want to be forced into, but he's got to trust the younger guys. The younger guys are getting better, but, you know, as he said, they're not there yet. This could be part of the stagnation of the offense, you know? And he talked about some of the frustrating parts of this offense.
It's frustrating, especially three and outs. You know, it's really frustrating. We have no control over what the play call is. We just have to execute. So, I mean, after executing your assignment, naturally, you're frustrated that, you know, we have to punt the ball. So
in essence, he's saying, look, we don't have a control over the play call. You know, the frustrating part of this is some of the three and outs, and we're getting the plays, and we just have to go out and execute. You know, one of the other things that I made a mention of, by the way, I was talking with Lance Kendricks last night during the Lodge Kohler kickoff, the tight end for the Packers, and I said, hey, look, go back to that L.A. game. I thought they would have had it. Ty Montgomery, if he doesn't fumble that football, one, he's probably still on this team. Two, I believe they go down and win this game, and it might have ended up being a dramatically different outcome over the last few weeks. But take a listen to what he had to say about feeling good about that game.
We knew that if we got the ball wherever, as long as we kept possession of the ball, that we would go down and score. So we were confident of that, and I think that kind of, you know, deflated the team a little bit, took away a little bit of confidence. And, you know, it was tough to go back on the road again to New England to gain that confidence back. You know, that was a really tough game. That was a hard-fought game.
That was a game in which they were tied at the end of three quarters. They went toe-to-toe with the New England Patriots. And again, ended up falling short. Didn't gain that confidence. Didn't get that swagger that you're seeing some of these teams, these better teams in the NFL, play with. Granted, they have some pretty good personnel, but once you start winning, you kind of elevate that level of adrenaline, so to speak. And then I asked him, you know, specifically, I said, when it comes to the offense, you've got the passing game in Aaron Rodgers, but talk about what Aaron Jones has brought to the table.
Spectacular player. And I was talking to somebody else about him, actually, and what he does really well is he's, you know, most guys are in second gear when they get to the second level of the linebacker. He's already in third gear, and he can pull away from guys and that more faster than, you know, a lot of running backs in the league. So he's special.
There you go. Lance Kendricks talking about Aaron Jones. He also said, hey, look, one of the things that I had to learn was, you know, taking blocking seriously.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And for me, it's a sense of, you know, I got to protect this man. You know, that's doing everything he can to win the game. So let me make sure I be the reason that he gets that completion, or I'm the reason that we just scored and won the game. You know, it's not only about the person who throws and catches the ball. It's also about the person who's protecting them. So I take pride in that, and I'm in the backfield a ton. So when I'm back there and there's a blitz, I try to do my best to make sure he doesn't get hit.
And then we did get a couple of questions from those that were on Twitter. And one of the questions, because obviously Lance Kendricks from Wisconsin, out of Milwaukee, went to Rufus King High School, and it was asked, what is your best memory from Rufus King? It's not what you think it would be.
I think my best memories from Rufus King was actually on the track. I used to run track. I used to jump and run the relays. And I was fortunate enough to go to state and all those things. So I think on the track really was some of my
really?
Best. Yeah, I did winter track and I did summer or spring track. So we did indoor and outdoor track. So we kind of ran almost year round.
There you go. It's not football. It's the track team. Some of the best memories when it comes to the track. He also talks about the Bears and the Vikings and how he says, hey, look, these Bears, a little bit surprised.
You know, those are two good teams. And actually, the Bears are really – they're surprisingly, like, really good this year. And, you know, Minnesota fought them tough. But I think it's good. It helps our case, you know, that we need to go get this W so we can try to find a way back to the top or at least tie.
Trying to get back to the top. That was Lance Kendricks from last night during the Lodge Kohler kickoff. And you heard that on many of these same stations. This portion of the program, by the way, brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. And if you are looking for a terrific gift idea for somebody and you can't figure out what to get them, gift card, man, gift card. It's a gift that keeps on giving in two different ways. One, you can obviously go and get somebody special, that gift card. Get them a $25 gift card from Cousin Subs. When you do that, you will also then receive a certificate yourself, a coupon for a free 7.5-inch sub. See what I mean? The gift that keeps on giving. So you can indulge as well. That is a perfect gift from our good friends over at Cousin Subs. Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Hang in there. We've got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show. Brian Billick, if you missed it earlier, had some interesting insight into what the dynamic is in the NFL from last night's ball game and also into the Green Bay Packers. That is coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Come, my lady, come, my lady, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby. Such a sexy.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Hey, a reminder, coming up tonight, 6 to 8, the Bill Michaels Huddle back out on the road. Kelly's Bleachers on Blue Mound Road. It's right there just north of Miller Park. You know where it's at. 6 to 8 tonight. Bart Winkler from Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, going to be there. Kevin Holden, CBS 58, going to be there. Drew Burgoyne, CBS 58, going to be there. Great panel coming up tonight. That's 6 to 8 on many of these same stations. It's the Bill Michaels Huddle. The Bud Light Street Team is going to be on hand because it's all brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Earlier today, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, when they won the Super Bowl, and now with the NFL Network as an analyst, Brian Billick joined us, and we started out talking about last night's ballgame. I mean, last night was just, he's a defensive-minded coach, but last night it was all about the offense. There was some defense play, three scores, as a matter of fact, via defense, but what a spectacular game last night.
Oh, just, well, that's where we want to be as a league now. I mean, obviously that's where the rules are, and I've been doing radio shows all day. I think last night's game underlined the fact that we have to look at what constitutes good defense differently, because the numbers, total yards and percentages and this, that, and the other, are those things are a way of the, you know, they've gone by the way of the whales. And you can't compare, for instance, that record-setting defense I had in Baltimore in 2000 with defenses now, because it's just a totally different environment given the rules. I think the way you have to judge good defense now is like what we saw last night. Oddly enough, in a game that was 54-51 and all that offense, what was the difference in the game? It was defensive turnovers and scoring. And so at the end of the day, that may be how you have to judge defenses now, their ability to take the ball away and possibly score.
I watched Andy Reid last night. I said this in the open of the show today. This was a guy that came out of the West Coast style of offense. He had that system in Philadelphia. And isn't it fascinating to watch his style and his kind of operation morph into a little more run-pass option, letting the kid kind of do his own thing? Boy, you got to give a lot of credit to Andy Reid as well for what he's done for Patrick Mahomes.
Well, he's adapted.
Yeah.
Which is the sign of a good coach. You know, the fact, because it, you know, the West Coast, that's the most misused term in the English language. No one runs the West Coast offense per se anymore, because everybody runs elements of the West Coast to a degree. But he's adapted, particularly his young quarterback. What a spectacular young quarterback he is. And he's got the talent, you know, to go around with it. Tariq Hill is, you know, at some point it needed to occur. And Wade Phillips is as good a defensive coach as there ever has been or ever will be. But at some point it's got to occur to you, you don't have anybody on your team that can cover Tariq Hill, okay? So you better do something to take him out of the game, because if you don't, he's going to kill you.
We kind of looked at that. We looked at over the weekend some of the games that were played, what's going on in other franchises that are really successful right now, and try to kind of look back and see what the Packers. I got to tell you, I watched games over the weekend, and I try to do it with an objective eye. The Packers offensively look like they're methodical, like they're plotting. They're just in a lower gear. I mean, I can't put my finger on it, but I know it when I see it. It just doesn't look right. Is there something you can look at? You say, okay, this is something that might be ailing them a little bit.
Well, again, it depends on what it is, what your style is, what it is you do. You know, we can look at last night, the up-tempo and what they do. But by the same token, let's look at the New Orleans Saints, who are probably the other team that is, you know, or the Pittsburgh Steelers. Those are the two other best offenses probably in the league. And they're offenses that are a little more paced and balanced and try to, you know, get that balance between running the pass. The Rams are really a little bit more that way, although they do have some of the up-tempo and some of the spread-out stuff that they do. So, you know, I don't know that that's an indictment to say, well, geez, Green Bay's behind the curve or they're not doing what's best. You know, it's whatever your philosophy is. At the end of the day, let's wait and see what actually wins the championship. Now, is that changing? You know, you can do things outside the pocket. That's all well and good. But at the end of the day, it has been, and in my opinion will continue to be, your ability to win from the pocket. Now, you do have to have some balance. We talked about what constitutes a good defense in combination with that. So that may be evolving a little bit, but I don't know that you can look at the Packers and say, gee, their offense is old or stodgy, or they're not using, you know, it really comes down to the talent as well. You know, you look at the talent on some of these other teams, the multiple ways that they can hurt you, that really is what it comes down to. Kansas City's a perfect example. You can take Tariq Hill out of the game. You can take anything you want out of any offense you want, but you're going to do so at a price and leave yourself vulnerable then to Travis Kelce,
right,
or Kareem Hunt killing you that way. So, you know, it's kind of which way do you pick your poison? And right now for the Green Bay Packers, I don't know that they have that same talent level across the board that they can hurt you as many ways when you take this guy or that guy away.
Yeah, when you talk about whether or not it's going to win you a championship, we saw Seattle beat up the best offense in the National Football League when Peyton Manning first went over to Denver. Then Denver turns around with Von Miller, does exactly the same thing a few years later. So to your point, yeah, I mean, is there like, say, if Kansas City gets there, can that Bears defense then slow down? If they would get to that Bears defense, then slow down what Kansas City offers?
And that's going to be the challenge. I don't know that just slowing it down is enough. Like I said, when we started, I think it constitutes takeaways. And we've talked about this forever. You know, I have what I call the toxic differential, which is the difference between explosive plays that you get versus what you give up, and then the turnover differential. Those are still the two biggest determinants for success. So your ability to be explosive, not give up of explosive plays, but then also generate turnovers. And I think that combination has just become even more prevalent. As good as Seattle was, you know, that Legion of Boom and the ball, and obviously Russell Wilson pretty good, that formula itself may not be enough to stop some of these high-powered offenses without getting more turnovers. I don't know that you can be good enough defensively with that. You know, when we won it in 2000, obviously we were playing great defense, but we ran the ball, we were a top three rushing team, and we were by far the best turnover differential.
Super Bowl,
again, it comes back.
No, Super Bowl winning head coach and NFL Network analyst Brian Billick with us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. I agree with you when you talk about the turnovers, because obviously the Packers are a few turnovers away from maybe this season being a little bit different in a lot of people's eyes. Last night I was talking to their tight end, Lance Kendricks, and one of the things that he had said to me was, you know, a lot of the stuff on the outside that's perceived, you have to keep out, and especially when times are hard. How difficult is that, not only as a head coach, but to watch your players go through the adversity of what's going on around them, the swirl that's around 1265 Lombardi, rather than having that seep into a locker room?
Well, the locker room is usually pretty good, and the building is pretty good when you have them there and can work together as a team. The problem is these aren't machines. They're not automatons. They go home. They go to the grocery store. They go to the laundry. They go home and visit with their wives and girlfriends and aunts and uncles and whatever. And that's when that dialogue, and when they listen, if they're smart, they don't listen to it. But it's hard not to. You can't turn on. It's like not being able to listen to the political landscape. You just can't get away from it. And that's when it begins to maybe wear on you. It takes a very mature, disciplined team to hold that at arm's length.
When you have a quarterback that has been critical of a head coach, such as Aaron Rodgers, in a backhanded way towards Mike McCarthy, what does that do to everybody else in the locker room when he's your leader?
Not good. It's not good, regardless of how you couch it, because it's the combination of, it's one thing when you just have, when you have the head coach, but when you have the head coach, that's a primary play caller. That's tough, and that's tough on the coach. Doesn't mean that the criticism or the comments aren't fair, but it's tough on the relationship. It's tough for a coach, because now Mike McCarthy's not only being evaluated as the head coach for the wins and losses, but they're being evaluated for the 1,200-some-odd calls that you're going to make during the course of the season. You know, and every run that should have been a pass, every pass that should have been run, every play that didn't work, it should have been something else. It's when that kind of criticism, and if it seeps into the locker room, if indeed that is the relationship with McCarthy, then that's not a healthy marriage, and usually something happens.
The one thing we always hear from fans, obviously, and I'm sure you've heard it at one point or another, is that, you know, things are stale, things are predictable. That becomes the almost cliche for people to say. Can that be true?
Well, sure, but I'm going to respond to, you know, that as a former coach and a former play caller. I always found that interesting when people, because that's usually the number one criticism you get when you're a play caller. Oh, you're too conservative, you're too predictable. I know exactly what you're going to do. Look, I can either run it or I can throw it. You got a 50-50 chance, right?
Right.
So you're only going to be able to guess so much. And when you hear that from people that frankly don't know the difference between a screen pass and a screen port, that, you know, that's tough. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't that aspect of it. It's really most important how your team views that. But if you start to just use that as an excuse, as opposed to, at the end of the day, the talent level for the Green Bay Packers, quite frankly, just is what it is on some of these other high-flying offenses. You can't look at the offenses we looked at last night. You can't look at the Pittsburgh Steelers. when Ben Roethlisberger could throw the ball to Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster, hand the ball off to Connor, has the best offensive line, in my opinion, maybe in the National Football League. When you look down in New Orleans, and Drew Brees has that combination of Kamara and Ingram in the backfield, go to Michael Thomas on the outside and do the multiple things. You know, yeah, are those good schemes? Sure they are. But I got to imagine that Mike McCarthy and the Packers could do some pretty good scheming with that talent level as well if they had it.
Well, they better because they have not won on the road yet this year, and their next opponent, the Minnesota Vikings in U.S. Bank Stadium. That is coming up. Interesting comments there by a guy that's been through this when you talk about what's going on in the locker room. Try not to have your leader, specifically your quarterback, speak out against your head coach. And just kind of discussing the generalities right now of the NFL. But great stuff from Coach Brian Billick. By the way, he joined us via SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com and use the promo code Billick, B-I-L-L-I-C-K, and you will get $20 off your first purchase. That's brought to you by our friends over at SeatGeek. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up. Hang in there. More of the Bill Michaels Show. Final segment next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers were back at work after having a weekend off. Up next is another road trip, this time to face the Vikings on Sunday Night Football. Tight end Jimmy Graham will try and play this week despite suffering a broken thumb in Seattle. On defense, Mike Daniels will be out at least a couple of weeks with a foot injury. Mike McCarthy says there's roster decisions to make. He met with GM Brian Gutekunst.
Brian and I met today on just some different combinations of things we may look at, and really until we get down on the field Wednesday to see how, you know, a number of these guys are going to move and, you know, get through the rehab part of it. Probably have more news for you here in the next 48 hours.
The Bears are now 7-3 atop the NFC North after beating the Vikings Sunday. The Packers have lost three of their last four, and at 4-5-1, they'd have to win their final six games to have a shot at the playoffs.
Regardless of what anybody's opinion is, you know, we expect to complete the goal that we set out to back in April. So, you know, that's the big picture focus, but it's not anything we're talking about right now, because, you know, part of the message today, there's not a whole lot to talk about. We know where we are in this season. We knew this four-game stretch was going to be a challenge. We didn't hit the target as well as we like, but now we're on. We have 6-7 day stretches here, so we're back into a routine and regularity that'll be beneficial to us. We feel that's a strength in preparation. But, you know, we have full intentions to go to Minnesota, win this game, but, you know, we need to play better in certain spots, and that's what we'll focus on. We'll focus on ourselves like we always have.
That's Packers head coach Mike McCarthy. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on The Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back to the program. Final segment before we get out of here. Just kind of wrapping up some emails. Our buddy Dwayne says, when it comes to who did you overestimate this year, whether it was the Packers or the Badgers, he said, I'd say the Packers for sure. Ed Philbin, Graham, new defensive coordinator. I thought we were going to take the division and mow over the rest. Very disappointed. Now we are strapped to the giant Rodgers contract. Big free agents we will not be able to afford. We'll have to rely on some big draft picks stepping up. Brad says, I way overestimated the Packers with the additions of Jimmy Graham, Mike Penn, Jermon Williams. I was thinking Super Bowl. Ugh, I underestimated the effects that Rodgers' contract would have on this attitude. Radio Joe kept my expectations for the Badgers realistic. Thank you, Joe. That's Brad in Sturgeon Bay. In the meantime, Eric writes, I overestimated the Wisconsin Badgers. I really thought after that Miami Bowl that they were going to be better, and they're simply not. In addition to that, you've got another one from John. John writes, I overestimated the Packers. I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be better than what he is. Yes, he's putting up good numbers, but let's be honest, he is not Aaron Rodgers, and he's not the leader. He's just a quarterback. Then you've got, this is from Dennis, said he's got frustration with Aaron Rodgers. While many people don't agree with how Aaron Rodgers shows his frustration, after watching Monday night's record-scoring game of 54-51, it's easy to understand. He sees Goff, who was considered a bust a couple of years ago, and a new head coach with a new creative up-tempo offense. Goff is having fun, winning, scoring points like crazy, and running for the MVP. He sees Mahomes with a veteran coach in Andy Reid who reinvented the offense into the one of creativity and up-tempo. Like Goff, Mahomes is having fun, winning, scoring points like crazy, and running for the MVP. Rodgers also sees quarterbacks like Trubisky and Brees enjoying the similar results to Goff and Mahomes because of the new coaches and new offenses. Yes, Rodgers knows he's better than all of these quarterbacks, but he's frustrated because he's stuck with the same head coach who refuses to reinvent an offense that is stale, predictable, and dysfunctional, which is what we talked about with Coach Brian Billick a little while ago. He said it's cliche because you either run or you pass, and you got 50% of the time you're going to get it right. He said a head coach who refuses to run the ball more with a stud running back, a head coach who trusts the analytics more than his MVP quarterback. That's from Dennis. Dennis, appreciate it. And then this one's from Christopher, who writes, I overestimated the Badgers. I really believed coming into this season they were going to be spectacular. I think we've taken for granted how good the defense has been in the last few years. And when you lose seven starters, that is huge. I made that mistake. And that's from Christopher. Christopher, appreciate the email. We'll be back at it again tomorrow as we come a-calling yet again. Good stuff today. Thanks to Coach Brian Billick and to everybody for being a part of the program. Tomorrow, is it fair to put Aaron Jones in the same conversation with some of the NFL's best running backs? Even though his numbers, his per-carry numbers are damn good. They just don't run him enough. Eric Name's going to talk some Bucks. Paul Charchian with Fantasy. Paul Emig tomorrow. And Paul Allen, the voice of those Vikings. He's going to join us as well.
Are you kidding me?
He will be here. I'm not kidding. Time for us to go. Have a going. See you.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.